I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, my very dear sisters. Welcome to Muslim Lady. The month of Muharram is already there, so I offer my condolences to every single one of you, and of course, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is Asma, your humble host, and here with me, I have my very dear sister, Sister Sadiqah. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to Muslim Lady.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Of course, I'm in here. So, my dear listeners, we were discussing women and the importance of all the great ladies and the journey of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and specifically in the history of Karbala. And we went through so much of his stuff related to Lady Zainab, salamullah alayha, and also all the women who have been participating in this history. Today we're going to shed more of lights upon those women who had done great deal of job in this battlefield, actually. And maybe not much of us know a lot about them, but they had a great role hand in hand with Lady Zainab salamullah alayha. So they were helping her and backing her up.
So in this segment, because we've discussed, had an overview discussion on what the role women played in the event of Ashura, if we now start to look at very zoom in onto the women themselves. So apart from Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam, we had many other women who participated in perhaps shaping the event of Ashura.
Just before you go into the depth of the story and penetrate deep into the facts that you're going to share with us, there's a quote that says, behind every successful man, there is a great woman. And I think whatever that happened to men in Ashura, for some of them, was mostly related to their women.
Exactly. And you've touched on, and I believe you're referring to the wife of Zuhair.
Exactly.
Zuhair ibn Qain.
Exactly, yes.
So Zuhair ibn Qain, the story goes that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was between Makkah and Kufa.
Mm-hmm.
On the way, he comes across the caravan of Zuhair ibn Qain.
Yeah.
So Zuhair tries to distance himself from the Imam. He doesn't want to be with the Imam at
this
point.
Exactly. He doesn't want to meet him face to face.
No. He doesn't want to support the Imam at this point.
Yeah.
At some point, they end up camping together. So Imam Hussein sends someone to Zuhair's camp. Zuhair is with his wife. And Imam Hussein's servant goes to him and tells him, Imam Hussein wants to meet you.
Yeah.
Zuhair is very distraught at this point. He doesn't want to go.
Exactly.
His wife looks at him and tells him, what has happened to you? The son of the prophet is calling you and you're sitting here.
And whatever she told him actually changed his destiny.
Yes. So listening to his wife, he goes to Imam Hussein.
Exactly.
He meets Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein invites him to his cause.
She was his driving force.
Yes. And when he sees what Imam Hussein is doing and the reward of it in the hereafter, he goes back to his wife and tells her, I'm going with Imam Hussein and you're free to go back to your family. But when we see the role of his wife later,
she went with him.
Yeah, no, she didn't go with him. She did return back to her hometown. What did happen is that later, when the death happened, she was following the whole event. And when it did happen, she sent her servant to go cover the body of Zuhair in Karbala. Her servant goes to Karbala and he sees the body of Imam Hussein without a coffin. So he thinks to himself, how can I cover the body of Zuhair while the body of the son of the prophet is uncovered? So he goes and covers the body of Imam Hussein first.
Yes.
And he goes back to Zuhair's wife. The driving force behind Zuhair initially going towards Imam Hussein was his wife. And that is why we see a lot of times when you're looking for a spouse, you're always told, look for a spouse who's going to help you in your faith.
Exactly.
Someone who's going to be able to push you towards religion.
Strengthen your belief.
Exactly. And even if you choose to go on the wrong path, she's always going to be there to push you back.
Exactly.
And Zuhair's wife did exactly that. When she saw Zuhair was willing to go off, she pushed him towards Imam Hussein, and it ended up in him perhaps gaining one of the positions that we are told that the martyrs of Ashura will have a status so high on the Day of Judgment that all the other shuhada, all the other martyrs will be jealous of that position on the Day of Judgment.
Of course.
One position, one instance of a woman's push led to a man who perhaps would have left Imam Hussein, but he ended up being in the army of Imam Hussein.
Exactly. The story would have gone a different way.
And his destiny would have changed. But it was for his wife that he found path to his success in the hereafter.
Exactly. So just before we go into the other women, into the other great ladies that were in the story of Karbala, let's go for a little short break and we'll be back in no time. Thank you for staying tuned. Welcome back to Muslim Lady. This is Arab English Radio. We're discussing great ladies who participated in the battlefield of Karbala and actually the role they shared along with their husbands to save Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So sister, we were talking about the wife of Zuhair and we said that she was a driving force for him to change his destiny and the story totally upside down because he was ignoring the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But then when he was asked to go and meet Imam, it was his wife that actually motivated him to go further. So this is just one woman among all the women who shared plenty much of significance in the battlefield of Karbala.
Yes.
So let's go to the other one.
Another one that I'd like to look into is Hazrat Fidda. She was the one who had served in the household of the Prophet for a very long time. And she accompanied them according to some narrations in Karbala.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to the court of Yazid in Damascus, modern-day Damascus, Yazid ordered the killing of Imam Sajjad, who was the only male surviving figure from the army of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And obviously he was the only male surviving because he was supposed to be the Imam.
Exactly.
And when the order to kill him came about, Hazrat Zainab stood up to protect him. So they wanted to kill her as well. And this is where Hazrat Fidda stood up. And she said, if you need to kill them, you're going to kill me first. And the tribe of Hazrat Fidda stood up who were there. And they told her, if you want to kill her, you're going to have to come past us.
Very interesting.
And so her one stance...
Such great women.
This could possibly have led to her being killed.
Exactly.
But again, she realized that protecting the Imam, there is no man and woman here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a responsibility because this is a divine responsibility that Allah has placed on the Imam, and we have been given a responsibility to be with the Imam and protect him when needed. And this could easily have led to her murder.
Exactly.
Rather, she stood up, protected the Imam of her time, and because there was such tribalism in that time, even her tribe stood up to protect her,
mm-hmm.
which led to the Imam of the time being protected.
Now, sister, there's a question. What happens to these women to turn into these very strong characters?
Because it comes down to the upbringing they have faced, the upbringing they have gotten from a very young age.
So again, mothers are very important.
Mothers are very important. And this, if we want to see how upbringing has an effect, we go to another woman, Umm al-Baneen.
Exactly.
Umm al-Baneen, she's known Umm al-Baneen because she had four children, four sons. All her four sons were killed in Karbala.
Yeah.
Now, Umm al-Baneen was a very pious woman.
Were sacrificed for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
So, Umm al-Baneen was the wife of Imam Ali alayhi salam. After Hazrat Fatima died, Imam Ali was looking for a woman from a courageous tribe.
Yeah.
And so he asks his brothers, who introduces her, Now, it is said that her name was Fatima as well.
Yeah.
But she never liked to be referred to as Fatima, according to what has been said, because she was afraid that the sons of Hazrat Fatima would remember their mother.
Hearing her name would remember their mother, and then they would get sad.
Exactly. So in order to spare them that
pain, the pain of the loss that they have been undertaking.
So you can see that from her onset, she knew the role that she had to play as a servant. Even when she entered the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, she entered as a follower of the Imam, not as his wife only.
Yeah.
Even though being the wife of an Imam has a great status. When she had her children, she had four children. The most famous of them is known as Hazrat Abbas. You see, the way she nurtured them to put the Imam before themselves.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
The tribe that Umm al-Banin came from was also related to the tribe that Shimr came from. It seems that they came from the same tribe. Now, this is important because in Karbala, the night before Ashura, it is the 9th of Muharram, Shimr goes to Hazrat Abbas and his other three brothers and tells them, we're giving an amanname, which is basically we're giving
you are free to
treaty.
Go.
Yeah, we're giving you security. We come from the same
we're
tribe.
We're relatives.
Yeah. So we're giving you, leave the Imam and you're free to go. We won't shed your blood.
Yeah.
And this is where the tarbiyah of Imam Umm al-Banin comes in. Because exactly. She had taught them from a very young age to place the Imam before themselves, even if it comes to their life.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at them and tells them, keep your security to yourself. What do we have with this when the son of the Prophet has no security and you want to offer us security? And they're like, we don't need any security from you. We're going to stay with the son of the Prophet. And we know that the tarbiyah of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, especially because his history has been focused on a lot, that in everything from a very young age, even if it came to fruits, he would look for the Imam first before himself.
Yeah. His manner is very, very much famous everywhere.
Yes, he used to place himself in anything, whether it be water, fruits, or even his life.
Yeah.
It was always the Imam first, then me.
And that comes from the mother.
That comes from the way she brought them up from a young age.
Yeah.
To understand that the Imam is a divine leader who has been appointed by Allah and we have a responsibility to him. And that responsibility knows no boundaries. Your life, your wealth, your children
everything.
Have no value when it comes to the Imam. Because when you attach yourself to the Imam, you become the perfect human being. And we see that in Hazrat Abbas and the other women. Like even if you look
at the reflection of that.
Yes,
actually.
Even if you look at the wife of Imam Hussein, who had understood the position of the
another
Imam.
Another
mother in Karbala. You know, her son was killed. She was a breastfeeding mother. Her son was 6 months old.
And her son was just 6 months.
Ali, but he's referred to as Ali Askar or Ali Arwadi, or some refer to him as Abdullah.
Yeah.
They're different names, but it refers to that 6-month-old baby. And he takes him and tells him, if you do not want to have mercy on me, have mercy on the 6-month child. So an arrow is pierced. And Imam
those
Hussein,
brutal creatures slaughtered that child on his father's hand.
So I've heard this from a reliable lecturer.
Yeah.
Who's also a teacher of the Hawza. And he says, Rabab, who was the mother of the child, she knows the child has been killed. Now, she doesn't go to welcome the child.
Yeah.
She goes right to the end of the tent. And he says the only reason she went is that Imam Hussein does not feel any shame at that point. He has enough pain now. So you see the ma'rifah, the cognizance they had in them.
The insight.
That understanding they had of the Imam. It's like everyone was better than the other in this understanding.
Yes, exactly. It was like it was a competition.
Exactly. And it is, you know, if you keep these women next to each other, you sort of fail to understand who's greater than the other.
Exactly, yeah.
Because of each one had a unique sacrifice.
Had a great sacrifice, yes. So thank you, sister. This is all the time we had for today's episode. We got familiar with so much of names of great women and ladies in the battlefield of Karbala who actually participated in that and contributed so much of things and actually had great sacrifices with their sons, with their husbands, with whatever they had in their hands. I hope you also enjoyed this session. Thank you for your attention. Until another session, I bid you farewell.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.